Hey Outlook family, I hope you are doing fine in these strange times that we're currently living in. Man, do I miss you. I've been talking to several of you and we've joked about how you get to see me, sorry about that, but I don't get to see any of you, or at least so few of you, and I sure miss you, but we are praying for you all the time. We're here for you, and I just want to say, you know what? We're going to get through this. We're going to get through this, and I'm enjoying seeing what the Lord's doing in all of our lives during this strange season. But He's up to good things, and that's what we've been talking about in this series. Faith, having the faith to believe that God is real, that He's good, and that He is active in our world. We've been spending some time learning how faith works. A couple weeks ago, we were reminded that faith is a boat in a storm, and we shouldn't forget that Jesus is on board. Last week, we talked about how faith is like a boxing match, and we can't forget that Jesus is in our corner. And today, I want to talk about the fact that faith is like a hinge that opens a door, and on the other side of that door, we cannot forget, on the other side of that door is Jesus and a world full of His richness, His love, His goodness, His grace. That's what we want to talk about today. And I want to jump right into a scene in the book of Matthew. Again, it gives us a clue about how faith works. Faith can feel sometimes like a pretty slippery concept. What do we really mean by that? Or maybe we mean different things by it, depending on who we're listening to. But let's let the scriptures give us some insight on this. This is a unique little moment. I'm in Matthew chapter 13, and it says that Jesus comes to His hometown, and He begins teaching people in the synagogue, and it says they were amazed. They were amazed. And they wonder, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they ask themselves. But then they also start to ask, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And don't we know his sisters? Aren't they with us too? Where did he get the ability to do all these things, they're wondering. And then it says they took offense at him. They went from amazement to offense. They're like, I'm not sure I'm buying it. I'm not sure that I'm with this Jesus and what it is that He has to say. Jesus just makes this comment back. A prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. In other words, for these folks, their familiarity with Jesus, their commonality with Jesus, cause them to write Him off. And here's the kicker. What it says in the last part of the verse, He didn't do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Now, this gives us some insight as to what faith is about in our premise today, that faith is what opens us to God's work in our lives. They simply didn't have any faith, it says, at least not when it came to Jesus. Now, we might read this account and we might think, oh, these folks didn't measure up, so Jesus rejected them and passed them by. But that's not really what it says. If we think about it, the opposite is true. It was Jesus who wasn't passing the tests. It was Jesus who was being rejected. And so He did not work where He was not wanted. He did not work where He was not wanted. This tells me that Jesus is looking for something. I think He's looking for it in me. I think He's looking for it in us all. He's looking for room to work. Room to work. An open door to walk through. And so what we want to kind of examine in our time together here is the idea that the door for Jesus to move through our lives and to work in our lives, that door is open and closed by faith. Faith is the hinge that keeps that door open, or in our lack of faith, begins to close that door. God works in our lives to the extent that we give Him room. Not that He always works in our lives in the way that we think He should, or that we wish he would. But where he does not find faith, he does not work. But there's some good news to all this. Where he finds that door open, cracked even a little bit, his hope for me and for you springs eternal. He sees some room to work, and he can do a lot with our very little. He can do a whole lot. He knows we're weak. He knows our faith can sometimes be weak. But remember, he said it only has to be as small as a mustard seed. That's what the verse I want to take us to next. Actually, Jesus says this in more than one place, that a little faith goes a long way, and this is how it comes out. First, let's look at Luke 17. Jesus is hanging out with his disciples, and he says to them, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times a day, and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Now, Jesus is giving a practical, yet very, of course, challenging teaching on something every single one of us as human beings deals with, and that is forgiveness. How do we get along with other people? How do we forgive? And you, especially if you're stuck in the house all day with those nearest you, the idea of needing to forgive seven times a day might sound pretty familiar to you right about now. But this was what Jesus was challenging the disciples with, and I love what they say in reply. It says that they say to the Lord, increase our faith. They have this idea of, Lord, that is a big ask. I'm not sure I have enough faith to do what you're saying. And Jesus comes back with something that, again, tells us something about how faith works. You got to know that Jesus is an expert on this subject. When he's talking about how faith works, we have to listen closely. We know that he knows what he's talking about. And this is what Jesus says back to them. They say, increase our faith. He says, listen, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, which is a tiny, tiny seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, there must have been one nearby, he motions to that, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Now, Jesus is using this word picture to tell us something, that faith is like a powerful seed planted within us, and tiny, tiny, atomic, just a small amount of faith is powerful and potent, like splitting the atom, right? You know, a tiny, tiny elemental thing, yet containing great power. Our faith is just like that. This is not the only place that Jesus says something very similar. In another occasion, in Matthew 17, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and this is how he puts it. He reminds them, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain. Now we move from mulberry tree to mountain here, but the point is the same. He says, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now Jesus is employing something here, and this is not the only place he does this. All great teachers do it. He's employing hyperbole, exaggeration, to paint a picture that is unforgettable and makes a point. So he motions to a nearby mountain, and he says that even with the smallest amount of faith, still, mustard seed faith, you could speak to a mountain and tell it to move. And then he adds this phrase, nothing will be impossible for you. Now, what can we learn from what Jesus is telling us here? Well, let's just make some observations. First, the smallest use of faith can have great results. Easily, that's a point that is to be made here. Jesus is taking the smallest thing that he or his listeners can think of, a mustard seed. He's taking the smallest thing that they could imagine. And then he's motioning to one of the largest obstacles that you can imagine. And he's saying that with just this, you can move that. He's making that point clear. That he's letting us know that when you cross over into the realm of faith, this is how it works. These are the physics of faith, that faith, even a small amount, it's like a lever that if you have enough belief in the goodness and the power of what Jesus has to offer, then just with that little bit of faith, you can move mighty obstacles out of your way. We face, in our day-to-day lives, seemingly impossible situations at times. Sometimes it feels impossible to us, just like it did to the disciples when we're told to forgive one another. We look at that and think, I don't know if I can do that. Right now you may be feeling that it's impossible to make it through one more day of staying at home or being in quarantine. Or in the rest of the areas of our lives, there are all kinds of things that we may think of as impossible. I'll never get that degree, or I'll never start that business. We have all kinds of ways and that we will look at our lives and in the world, and we will label something impossible. That's impossible, we'll say. Or I'll never, we'll tell ourselves. Or we can't, we hear ourselves saying. And we have to stop that. We have to, in faith, begin to see that we don't have the final word on such things, and that what we label as impossible, Jesus may have a whole other point of view. What we see as an immovable mountain, Jesus sees as something that can easily walk into the sea, if necessary, by our faith. It's in our minds, isn't it? So much of what we are afraid of, or what stresses us, or what stops us, has to do with the thoughts that go through our minds. These mountains that sometimes we heap up, and then we allow those mountains to hem us in. Some of them may need to be moved. Often in our lives, we're faced with amazing opportunities that are disguised as impossible problems. We certainly may feel that way during this trying time that we're in, but are there opportunities for us to discover? More broadly, if you stop and think about it, so much of our day-to-day existence here in the year 2020 would have been considered impossible. Certainly 100 years ago, 50 years ago, some aspects of our day-to-day lives would have been unimaginable just 20 years ago. And so let's ask ourselves, what in my life today was previously unimaginable? And don't just say COVID-19, right? Certainly right now, that seems pretty unimaginable. None of us would have guessed that we would be in this kind of situation. But let's also remember life beyond that. What other things in our lives do we experience that not that long ago or at some earlier point in our lives, we would have considered, whoa, that would never happen? Maybe you're blissfully married, and there was a time in which you would have thought that would have never happened. Maybe you've overcome an addiction, and there's a time when you would have thought that's impossible. Maybe today you enjoy a rich prayer life, at least on some days, and there would have been a time when talking to God would have sounded like the most foolish or impossible thing to you. I think you know where I'm going with this. That sometimes our current day-to-day, if we stop and think about it, contains all kinds of things that at one point we would have thought impossible, which begs the question, what do I consider impossible today that tomorrow I will actually end up taking for granted and realizing is part of my day-to-day? What might God have planned for me that I would have thought, oh, that could probably never happen? But with eyes of faith, I could begin to see that it's more than just maybe, okay, I'll allow that it's possible. Maybe it's ready to begin. God has lots of things, I think, in mind for me, for you, for all of us, if we'll open our eyes to the possibilities. This world is full of possibilities. We mistake sometimes, though, prudence for wisdom, and we mistake fear for caution. We tend to do little because we're afraid or we don't want to risk. We attempt little, we do even less because we see the world is full of impossibilities. I have to think, by reading Jesus' words here, that he would much rather us err by seeing the world as full of possible goodness, that he would like to see us attempt and do and experience, than simply writing things off as impossible. There was a great Christian who lived a few centuries ago. Her name was Teresa of Avila, and I love this quote from her. She says, "I know the power obedience has of making things easy which seem impossible." Now see, I like this because to me, as a Jesus follower, she is boiling down how this really works. And that is, if we begin to dedicate ourselves to simply, day after day, obey Jesus' teaching. One foot in front of the other. Jesus said it. I'm going to attempt to live it out. I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey it. I'm going to apply it to my life. And we do that one day and the next day and the next day in the best ways that we know how. There are all kinds of things I've found that we may have thought of as not possible, but instead by simple obedience, start to come out of the fog of impossibility as we keep moving forward, and suddenly we begin to see them as doable, as achievable, whatever that might look like in your life. Here's what I found. Faith brings a determination to not settle for excuses. Let me say that one more time. Faith, I have found, brings with it a determination. It's not just some kind of pie in the sky, up in the clouds, kind of wishful thinking. Faith brings a determination to not settle for excuses. We're going to go into this some more next Sunday, but suffice to say, our definition of what's impossible, man, that shrinks a ton under the paradigm of faith. We don't settle for just why something didn't work out. We begin to see that it still can, that there's still hope, that there's still possibility. You might be hearing me right now, and that's what you need to hear right now, that there's still hope, that there's still possibility in whatever situation or challenge you might be facing. Don't buy into the idea that it's concluded, that the whole thing's ready to wrap up. There's still more ahead, and God's got some things in mind for you. In other words, our definition of impossible needs to be rethought and redefined. A paradigm shift, a mountain, or more than one mountain, may need to be moved or removed in our thinking. That can happen. We've all faced it. We all have such mountains. In faith, we can begin to see what God would want us to see. So in all of this, from just that phrase that Jesus said, we can conclude that we don't need more faith. The disciples said, increase our faith. Jesus says, no, you just need a little bit. It's not about more faith. It's about not about more or less faith. It's about how much we use our faith, how much we exercise that faith. It's a small hinge, a tiny lever, small as a seed, that has great power to move. The other day, on top of everything else that's happening, I got a nail in my tire driving home the other day. And so among everything else that we had to do, I needed to get the spare on my car. And I'm reminded of this very principle as we're talking about faith, and that it's like a lever. It's also like a jack. I had to get the small jack out of the trunk of my car. I had to put it in the right spot under the car's frame and then begin to lift the car up. And it is. It's amazing how this small little piece of equipment can nearly effortlessly lift my entire car. Faith is just like that. Jesus is telling us it doesn't take a lot. Quit beating yourself up because you think you somehow need more faith. Just begin to use what you have. Just keep believing in God and His goodness. And you will be surprised at how much power that brings to move and remove out of your life the things that are in the way. There's a verse in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 that I want to highlight here at this point. Goes like this: without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. This reminds us that all of faith begins with one simple step. God, I believe You exist. God, I seek You. Open my eyes. I just want to live before You. I want to come to You. I believe by faith that You exist, that You're real, and that You're good. This is really, in the end, what all prayers are. It's a simple turning of our hearts and our minds to God anytime throughout the day. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to discover in ways that I don't think I ever fully appreciated before, not least quite like this. When Paul says that we should pray continually or pray without ceasing, these last couple weeks have certainly pushed me far closer to understanding what that looks and feels like. It just feels like my thoughts are even more driven toward talking to God all the time about the situations, the decisions, the challenges that we're facing. Maybe you're feeling it too. That all comes to us, and as we realize all of that through faith. It's impossible to please God without faith, because just to turn to God means we have enough faith, small as a mustard seed, to believe that He exists. I can't help but think this is what James meant when he said, draw near to God, He will draw near to you. It's just that simple. Again, the door just needs to be cracked a little bit. The steps that we take, just a small step, a baby step, and we begin to turn toward God, we will find He's right there, ready and waiting to be with us. He's not getting out a scale to weigh our faith. He's not getting out a tape measure to test or measure our faith. If we've just cracked that door open, that's enough faith for Him to begin to do work in us, to abide with us, and for us to experience life with Him. I love the fact that the bar is not high here in this verse. Believe that He exists. That's an essential and great first step. If we can do that, we've opened the door to a world of spiritual possibilities. But we do have to feed our faith, and it is possible to starve our faith. It is possible to let the hinge of our faith begin to rust and close, and then the amount of faith, just like Jesus coming to His hometown, that Jesus begins to see in us becomes so minimal and then non-existent as that door shuts, that we need to then pause and think, what have I done to feed my faith? And how can I get that door open again? If that's you, that is a question to consider. And as we go through these times in which it sometimes can feel like there's just a siphon on our soul and it is draining the energy out of us. I don't know if you felt like that as we're going through this time. I bet you have, at least on some days. I know I have. And we need to then, now more than ever, concertedly look for ways to feed our soul, to pray, to dig into God's Word, to stay connected to our fellow believers. And there are no shortage of ways to do that. I've talked to Outlookers over the last couple weeks who not only are they staying connected via all the technological and ways that are available to us online and all that good stuff, but some people are also just sending each other notes and cards, all good ideas, all ways that we can feel and share love with each other. That feeds our soul. Receiving it feeds our soul, giving it feeds our soul as well. And we need that. We need to feed our souls, feed our faith, keep it strong, keep it alive, keep that door open. Because faith in God makes all the difference. How will we get through this? How will those who maybe don't yet know God see us getting through this? It'll be by our faith. Is this an opportunity for us to shine even brighter, make the message even more clear to those who are paying attention? Absolutely. Can we minister to them and share our faith with them, not only in our words, but in our actions and in our responses and reactions? You bet we can. Faith in God will make all the difference there. Faith makes the difference between conquering fear and being conquered by fear. Faith gives us courage. Faith makes all the difference between getting down and remaining down and then getting back up. Faith makes us resilient, gives us joy. Faith makes the difference between expecting the worst and believing the best. Faith gives us hope. Faith makes the difference between staying in safe harbor and launching out toward new discoveries. Faith makes life an adventure. Faith does all these things for us because God works in our life to the degree that we'll keep the door open to Him by faith. Another quote here that I've always appreciated, this is by a Christian from a long, long time ago. His name was Augustine. He said, "Faith is to believe what we do not see." We've talked about that. "The reward of this faith is to see what we believe." That's what begins to happen as we keep that door open. On the other side of that door is a God-bathed world. We begin to see everything in a new light, through a new lens. First, we were just hopefully believing it. Now, we're confidently seeing it. We see God at work. We have hope for the future. We sense His activity in our own life. We see the potential in others. We see with eyes of faith. On the other side of that door that faith opens is a God-bathed world. Once you begin to see it, don't let yourself unsee it. Keep feeding that faith. And once you see it, be prepared to be considered a little bit crazy by everyone else around you some days. Because you will see hope where other people are hopeless. You will see potential where other people just want to write others off. You will see reasons to praise God when others are cursing. When others are down, you'll see reasons to stay up on your feet. When others get tired, you'll have an energy that says there's still work to do. Faith does all that in us. Bertrand Russell was the world's best known atheist a few decades ago, sometime around the middle of the 1900s. And he was once asked, what would he say if it turned out he'd been wrong and he found himself standing outside the pearly gates? Okay, world's best known atheist asking, hey, what if you were wrong and you found yourself up in heaven? And his eyes light up in this. And Bertrand Russell replies, why, I should say, God, you gave us insufficient evidence. Insufficient evidence? I mean, really? No, Bertrand, you were just seeing through the wrong lens. That there is a lens as equally veritable, as equally legitimate as every other lens that you may choose to see this world through, and that is the lens of faith. When you pick up that lens, it's just like we can see faraway planets. We can see the smallest microbes, all depending on the lens that we use. When we begin to see the world through the lens of faith, then there is far from insufficient evidence that God is real and good. Not only does He exist, but that He's with us. He knows us. He loves us. And He's so, so good. That we can see through eyes of faith. This idea of using eyes of faith is what that's the language that Paul uses in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to go into this passage more in a couple weeks, but I want to just touch on it here. This is a prayer that the Apostle Paul writes and prays for these Christians. Check this out. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. So he prays that the eyes of our hearts, that's kind of a wacky phrase right there, right? That our hearts have eyes. In other words, he's saying the way you see the world from your heart, from your soul, from who you are at your center, that the way you see the world would be enlightened, that the lights would come on, that things would be clear, and that when that happens, you'll be full of hope, because you'll know the hope, as he puts it, to which He's called you. Glorious inheritance, on and on he talks about. Great power. That's what we'll focus on in a couple weeks. This is the life of faith. To believe the incredible, to perceive the invisible, and to achieve the impossible. Friends, it's an understatement to say that we've been living in some uncertain times recently. But we have, haven't we? And it has brought to bear what we once considered certain. It's shown me, at least, what I thought was a sure thing, or the way I thought things may always be. Things I never thought to question. I bet you're feeling the same way. And it's in uncertain times that we need to focus on what is certain. God and His goodness, His reality, the faith that resides in our hearts, feeding that faith, paying attention to it, allowing the door to be wide open and ever more open to His work in us. If you're listening or you're watching me, I just want you to know, maybe this is new to you. Maybe this is something you've just been exploring or checking out. Maybe you've just been so bored that now you're watching church broadcasts just to pass the time. I don't know. But I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you're watching. And I want you to know that there is a God who came to this earth as a human being named Jesus. And that God knows you completely, every single thing, and loves you just as completely. And that there is a life in Him that does not compare to life without Him in any way. That is so much stronger and healthier and better and brighter. It's a life that's not easy, not free from complication or challenge, but full of strength and power and peace. And that life is available to you by faith. If you want to learn more about that, we'd love to hear from you. There are all kinds of ways that you can do that. You can jump online or shoot us an email. That'll be easy for you to find if you're watching us online. I guess the thing I want to say most before we wrap up is this. Jesus is here. He's here as I say these words, and He's with you as you hear them. And that Jesus arrives on the landscape of our lives just as He arrived in that town, and He wants to do some work. He wants to do miraculous things, in fact, and He's fully capable. Your heart is His hometown. He made you and would long to be welcomed or welcomed back and given space to love and to work in you, in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. I hope you'll let Him in. And if you've let Him in, I hope that you'll pay attention to that door and the hinge that keeps it open or closed, your faith. Because faith in God, my friends, will make all the difference in my life and in yours. Let's pray about that. Father, we ask that You would be with us in these days that we're in. We ask, God, that You would keep our faith strong. Lord, so many times we feel just like the disciples when they exclaimed, "Increase our faith." It's how we feel. Help us, Jesus, to hear Your words, that even with just a little faith, we can move the mountains that are in our way. We can see the world as full of possibilities, not impossibilities. We can move through whatever challenges we're facing, knowing that You're with us in them and on the other side. Jesus, thank You that we can come to You anytime, anywhere, and talk to You about anything. I certainly pray, God, that You would be with all our outlookers, all who are listening or watching this message, that You would grant us the peace and the joy and the love that all come by placing even a little faith in You. That's our prayer, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.